Number one song in the United States of America for 35 weeks, the Macho River Choir, not once did they sing the words to it.
No way.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
They whistled the words. They just whistled the words, and in the movie, the Macho River Choir, they're marching through the mud and the gravel and the stuff in the river, and they're whistling the words. And Peggy Lee, matter of fact, Peggy Lee recorded and sold over 250 records, and she just whistled the words. The words were dirty.
All right, you just sing. Go ahead and sing.
Well, my foot's tapping, my guitar's ringing, dingin', 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 dingin'. You sleep with me, I'll sleep with you. So we will march together. So we will march. March and we'll sing together. You sleep with me, I'll sleep with you.
Marching.
All right, so welcome to episode 3, the long-awaited third episode.
I was waiting.
Comedy on Vinyl. I'm Jason Klom. With me, as usual, Dan Gomiller.
Yo.
Harry Jarvis.
Hello.
And recording, producing, contributing, Mike Warden.
Hello.
Did you hear that, people at home?
Hello!
Thank you. All right. This week / month, we are doing... Where's the album? I can't say it unless I'm reading it. Live at the Purple Onion by the Smothers Brothers. I knew that. But, so, we're going to do a different format, a less distracting format this week. You just heard an intro. You heard a lot of the first song. And we'll just discuss, because it's supposed to be oversweeping anyway, and sometimes we overtalk. Too much.
Sometimes.
Did any of that make any sense? Were those words that I just used?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. That's
sufficient,
good.
At least.
So I.
You're
think
a writer. Nobody expects you to know words.
Good call.
Yeah.
Not until later.
Not until.
Yeah. Like
it's
actually
editing
ahead of time.
Stage.
Mm-hmm. We'll fix it in post. That is fine. So this is. Luckily, I guess this is the first album I ever heard about the Smothers Brothers. Personally, it is the first one they recorded. Even though it says Live at the Purple Onion, they recorded this mostly are the same word. Entirely in Austin. The intro is from the Purple Onion, but apparently the Purple Onion show sucked, basically, which is kind of funny. But everything worked in Austin, so I don't know.
You those weren't Purple Onion acoustics.
That is true. If you listen real close, if you just use your listener's ear, which is what I call it, you can tell it's clearly not the Purple Onion. It doesn't sound like an onion.
Nope.
It doesn't feel like an onion. It
doesn't smell purple.
Exactly. So it's clearly not.
And it's missing many layers.
Right. It's more likely a barbecue house in Austin.
Yeah.
Circa 1950-something.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, even though you guys were talking earlier about, like, this is clearly a little more of a straight album, but because I think it was trying to introduce people to the idea that folk could be silly and to their sense of humor, it's mostly a song bookended by them being silly.
Basically.
I mean, Tom interrupts Pretoria quite a bit, but, like, at least the characters are there. And I think mm-hmm. that they said that was the biggest problem they had, was, like, getting those characters straight, and that's why it wasn't always funny the first time.
Right.
But, I don't know. When did you guys first hear or see the Smothers Brothers?
Well, we used to watch the variety show on TV.
Back in the 60s?
The repeats of said variety show
back
on
in
TV.
The 70s?
It was used to be on TV. I don't know what channel. I
think
was little.
It was on E, if I remember correctly. They were running them on E like an anniversary release of them.
That was when I was younger, before E even existed.
I think you're lying.
No.
No, you're lying.
I'm not.
God damn it. Okay, really?
I think you guys should wrestle.
Nope.
I was pretty young, so I don't remember it all that well.
But you remember being funny, like so many memories of comedy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just remember it making you laugh.
Depressed upon you.
It was very...
Little brain.
Very depressed upon me.
Depressed upon you. What about you, Ari? I know you...
This was our first date, me and Dan. He sat me in front of the computer and
back in
played.
The 60s?
Yes, in the 60s.
We went to the Purple Onion.
He just played all, pretty much his whole comedy
folder. That is a nerd first date.
Yeah, but then I...
You would sit and listen to this.
And you would like it.
I lectured him for an hour on why the prequels of Star Wars suck so bad. So
okay.
We were well waited.
That's fine.
I had never heard of them before, and it was weird because after I heard of them, I instantly knew where my mother's weird sense of humor came from. Yeah. She's Tommy Smothers. She acts just like him when she's trying to be cute or something. That's how she acts. And it weirds me out. And I went to her, and she tells this story all the time to all her older friends, people her age. She's like...
So 70, 80.
Yeah.
One's from the 60s.
Like, oh, she came home from college, and she's like, have you ever heard of the Smothers Brothers? And she's like, oh, I grew up with them. And I'm like, well... She had told me about them. You suck. Uh-huh. But it just makes so much more sense, because, of course, I want to strangle Tommy a lot less than I ever want to strangle my mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you aren't trying to get a straight answer from Tommy when you listen to the comment.
What's funny is, like, I honestly assumed that that his persona on stage was entirely a put-on, but the more I read about it, he's obviously not an idiot,
yeah.
But the stumbling apparently does come from him being incredibly dyslexic, and so, like, reading and memorizing shit doesn't entirely work for him, so in his brain it's probably switched around too, you know? So, that adds to it, and I guess he just amplified it, but I mean, even, like...
Yeah, instead of trying to work against it, he uses it,
well,
and it works.
Back in the day, that was considered, I mean, if you can't read or something, they just, you might have an initial problem, and then his teachers probably treated him like he was stupid, and that just compounded it, so he probably leaned upon comedy.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yep.
Thank God for inefficient, dumb teaching.
Yay!
Hey! But, yeah, the first time, I think it's probably the same for me, as I saw them on TV in some capacity or other, but I think it was later, probably on E for me, maybe.
Well, but the thing, did they have a special at some point? Because I remember them doing a song with Harry Anderson.
They did.
I love that.
In the 80s, they did a special. They did a reunion special where they refused to
I remember
to be,
seeing that, too.
They refused to be controversial because CBS said, please come back, and you can be as controversial as you want. And they said, nope, we're not going to. They said, fuck you. So they probably did say, fuck you, because apparently Tommy has quite a foul mouth, which is
but I remember awesome. That. That's, like, the clearest memory of it. Probably because I saw it when I was a little bit older.
Wait, it was a bit with Harry Anderson?
Yeah, they sang Never Marry Tom, Dick, or Harry.
That's right. I think that was from that special. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I saw them first then. My grandma had their albums, and I either stole them or my mom got them. But I listened to Live at the Purple Onion, and then Dan and my friend Mike Shaver from high school, we all listened to them together. And then Tommy, Mike is Tommy. Very much
he totally
so.
Is.
And again, not an idiot. He is a savant of some kind. And
he's Rain Man.
Yeah, he appreciates Jets. Tommy in this. And he can just, he imitates him pretty much dead on and finds the exact same things funny.
Yeah.
And yeah. Hi, Mike Shaver. Mike?
Not answering him.
What a fucking
bastard.
You're a dick, Mike. We can, well, Pretoria's funny. Next one is probably the one that sticks out in my head the most, which is Dance Boatman Dance.
Mm-hmm.
We can play a clip from that for a second. We won't hear it, but you at home will hear it. And I'm presuming you're listening to this at home. And we'll come back and talk about it.
Happiness in their draft, Beery Liza probably tells their Saturday night in town when these boatmen take their meagers, after work take their meagers week's penances. Their
no,
meagers week's penance.
No, that's not right.
Money. Uyghurs makes lousy wages. It probably tells their Saturday night in town when these boatmen go into town and pick up their oars. They're actually a pun. Boatmen dance, boatmen sing, boatmen do most anything. Dance, boatmen dance, dance, boatmen dance. Dance all night to the broad daylight, home with the gals in the morning. Hey ho, boatmen row, sail on the river on the Ohio. Hey ho, boatmen row, sail on the river on the Ohio. Boatmen sing, boatmen dance, boatmen loves Miss Marianne. Dance, boatmen dance, dance, boatmen dance. Dance,
excuse me.
I'm a boatman, gee, I'm sore. I came home without an oar.
Dance, 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 dance all night to the broad daylight. Home with gals in the morning.
Okay, that was really good. Dance Boatman Dance was
my
fantastic.
My favorite clip.
Yep, me too. But that one, I have a very specific memory of this. I listened to these a whole bunch, and they were stuck in my head for so long. I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but if you like do something that's really you absolutely hate, you have to repeat something in your head over and over again that you really like or that helps comfort you to make you feel better. Well, I remember singing Dance Boatman Dance over and over in my head when I was on a camping trip that was like a 20-mile walk. It was like 7 hours.
Was that your Upward Bound one?
My Upward Bound one in high school. And I was just miserable, and I was either running lines from Wayne's World or Dance Boatman Dance through my head to make myself feel really, really comfortable. And it kept me going. But it's like, you would have thought I was in some, like, the fucking death march, the way my brain was treating it. But I don't know. Yeah.
Boys and girls, the inside of Jason's brain.
Yep, thank you. I'm sorry. You can tune out now if you haven't already. And, yeah. What about you guys?
I just remember, like, whenever I hear the beginning, I just think of Mike Shaver, because it's like, this is the one that he always quoted.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, can I row my boat today? No, you can't.
We laugh now, but that's it. We laugh.
That's it. We just laugh.
Yep.
Death marches. We don't.
No, you can't. That's a whip for those at home.
That's really sad.
I listened to this. When I listened to this, because I bought the CD that's like the best hits. Or
Sibling Revelry.
Sibling Revelry. And it's got several of these. It's got some random Mom Always Liked You Best.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got like Chocolate and Cabbage and all this other stuff. I listened to this on loop when I was in New York City, like, between semesters, like, going to and from home, and so, for some reason, it reminds me of New York in the winter. Mm-hmm. It's like, certain songs, I'm just like, I know exactly where I am in New York City.
Comedy, I mean, and I don't know if it's a specific brain type, but I mean, at least for me, comedy's really the same way music is for a lot of people. I listen to comedy to just calm my brain down sometimes, definitely. And I have a lot of emotional connection with it. And it's because a straight song is never going to make me laugh, never going to give me a physical reaction to something. It might give me like an emotional chemical reaction in my brain if it sounds amazing, but I'm never going to out loud make a guttural noise at an Enya song. Not that I listen to Enya. I mean, I might, depending on what I'm doing during the Enya song. That was disgusting.
He means sewing. Sewing, folks.
Yes, yeah. Boys and girls.
I sew a lot.
His seeds. High five.
So do you think that's why you have such a connection to, like, Weird Al, Smothers Brothers? Is the music along with the comedy? Like,
that could be.
Combining both elements of it?
Yeah, because, I mean, I do. There is definitely emotional connection with something like Cheech and Chong, but there's only one or two songs. And that's an emotional connection because Dan and I became friends over that just as well as we did Weird Al. But that's a good point. Your brain responds to rhythms in a certain way. That's why you like to listen to music or repeat music. Good comedy is rhythmic anyway.
Yeah.
But musical comedy, I think, does stick in your brain more.
But other than, like, the occasional thing that you might learn to recite, like, with comedy, it's more like if you try to explain, like, a sketch to someone, you usually more explain what happens in the sketch with an occasional, like, maybe catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to...
Or if you like Monty Python, you just repeat the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, word for word.
And it's almost like... Yeah, they're almost like poetry, the way they do it. Mm-hmm. But like, with songs, you know, the thing about music and the human mind is that music sticks.
Sure.
Our brains are designed to let it stick. So I think that's part of it is, like, the music... You remember pretty much the whole song, and that's probably part of why it has a little bit of a stronger thing.
And now that I think about it, almost all the comedy that I first listened to, because I was thinking about this the other day, who did I listen to first, and I think it was Billy Connolly. Billy Connolly was also musical, not as heavily, but he started out as a straight folk singer, and then slowly but surely worked that into a comedy act,
right?
And then became more comedy than music, but still, a lot of that stuff sticks in my head. Smothers Brothers... Steve Martin, also, like, heavily musical. George Carlin's one of the only ones that doesn't, but the seven words in and of itself is like a giant piece of poetry, and that's one of the few things that's almost as rhythmic and memorable as a piece of music. And also the fact that this guy's saying fuck, 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 and getting away with it, and articulating in a beautiful way why he should get away with it. So, that's got its own place.
It also seems more socially acceptable to listen to music over and over and over
sure.
than to listen to a shtick over and over and over.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems a little more insane to listen to a sketch over and over if there's no music involved.
That doesn't mean we don't do it.
Sure.
But.
No, of course we do. But, like, Monty Python Sings is one. I've listened to that more than any other album.
Yeah.
All the Monty Python songs are fucking awesome, even if they're stupid.
Yeah.
Those were, like, Tim Minchin has his Storm, the beat poem, and originally when I first heard it, I was like, oh, I want to hear this again, but would that be weird, because it's not a song? But now I listen to it all the time. It's so musical without having music.
It's funny that you had to ask yourself if it would be weird to listen to it. Weird.
Welcome to being OCD, being so socially paranoid. Well, it's horrible, because when I listen to this, I'll be on the subway, I'll be working at work, or doing something, and be just, ha ha ha! I look around and people are looking at me like, oh, you want to understand?
You had to be there.
Well, okay, I feel like a hipster listening to Smothers Brothers because so many people our age do not know who they are.
I've never even heard of them. The words are like foreign.
I think only in our circle of friends and family know, like, have ever said, oh yeah, them.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I only know a couple other comedians who can name somebody like the Smothers Brothers as something they listen to. Bill Cosby, yeah, and then oddly enough, I haven't listened to that much Bill Cosby. I love Bill Cosby, but I haven't listened to as much as I have. Because I listen to every Smothers Brothers album, I'm pretty certain, by this point, and most of the George Carlin albums, but yeah. No, it is weird, and you know, you're going to have to face it, Eric. You are a hipster. You're a comedy hipster. Have to face it.
Comispster.
Don't speak.
New glasses.
Nope. Since Dan was speaking, let's let Mike speak to try and wash away that bad taste.
Chimpster, yes!
I find that a lot of times I get with musical comedy, I'm very judgmental because not that it's easier, but it's easier to get okay with a quick laugh because you have a rhyme. I think it's harder with musical comedy to stick and resonate. But you have a lot of comedians who burst onto the scene because they have a funny song, and they have two songs, and then they're gone. But it's just...
I'm Tom Green.
Exactly. Yeah. They're hiding behind a guitar almost.
His bum was on your lips, though.
He was.
Yeah. Or on your moose. What was his bum on?
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever happened to Stephen Lynch?
He did Broadway.
Yeah, Wedding Singer on Broadway.
And then I don't know what happened after that.
Probably drugs.
Probably. That would be amazing. Not that I want Stephen Lynch to die of an overdose. I mean, of comedic musicians, he's on the lower tier. I still like him for the most part. But yeah, I mean, it just would be funny for a musical comedian to OD.
Tenacious D doesn't put anything out. Anymore.
No, they're really like...
Well, Jack Black sold out his career now.
He's a millionaire, you know. Yeah. So, what's Kyle Gass doing, though, while he's... I mean, I know he tours with other people, but, like...
He's probably a background kind of guy.
He was an elf.
Was he? All right. Good to know.
I remember that.
Tenacious D's one that's, like, a really good example of, like... And the same... The Smothers Brothers, like... They were really good musicians. They were not, like, maybe not top of their game, but they were pretty damn close.
They were pretty good.
You know, they were great, and even Tommy looks back in the book that I read, which is, by the way, it's called Dangerously Funny. It's a really good book, and I think I got it for $6 at Barnes & Noble because it was on sale. It's a really, really good
book. And Dickie has, like, a pedo stash on the cover.
I love Dickie.
A pedo stash. But, yeah, Dickie said, like, later on, he's like, after I re-listened to all that stuff, we actually were pretty damn good musicians. Yeah. Our harmonies were really good, and it's like, yeah, they were... The skill was obviously second nature to them, and that's why they could move on to comedy.
Actually, yeah, the next song, Down in the Valley, when you play the bit from that, that is a perfect example of
their harmonies.
It's a beautiful song. Straight.
As far as folk songs are concerned, they're like, excellent. Because, I mean, the point of folk songs is that anyone can play them.
Sure.
And the people who are uneducated and unwashed and... You know, played it at church or around a campfire, that's what they played. And these guys have such a beautiful way of presenting it.
Yeah.
And they do a great job with taking comedic folk songs and then mixing them with, you know...
Actual, just folk songs.
I can't imagine there being a point where they wouldn't have become comedians. Like, even if they stuck with it, and if one of them was, or if Tommy or Dickie was like, you know what, let's just keep playing straight folk music, it's good. At some point, I think... Tommy would have just he would have to have made some he just wouldn't have been able to stay straight for too long comedically. You know what I mean?
It comes so naturally to him, the mm-hmm. comedy. And,
yeah.
I love how, I know, like, I've heard different versions of same songs.
Sure.
And they hit, it's, a lot of it is not scripted, but, like, you know, outlined.
Sure.
But they take it, what they choose to do is, chosen on the fly, mm-hmm. and they can go different avenues, and that's why there's so many different, you know, my mom always liked you best yeah. versions. But yeah. We were talking in the car about how we love it. Okay, my favorite in almost every comedy duo is the straight man.
Like, sure.
I love Carl Reiner. I love Dickie Smothers. And just, there's something, I love it when they get broken up. Because that just shows how funny the other one is.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of my favorites is John Henry.
Mm-hmm.
When Tommy keeps saying that he's spitting on things, where he spits on the steam drill.
Yeah.
And then he spits on the pistol that the guy shoots. Mm-hmm. And at that point, because he raises the pistol up and gets ready to shoot, and John Henry spit on it, and Dickie started cracking up, and it was awesome.
Yeah, just even listening to this one, there's a couple places where you can just hear that what Tommy said was never said before.
Yep.
Got to Dickie totally off guard.
And I don't think any band, well, I mean, I can't think of one anyway until Flight of the Conchords came out, did, like, folk comedy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they, you know, they pitched themselves always as, were they New Zealand's third greatest folk yep. rock parody band? And they've branched out and done all kinds of different stuff, which these guys didn't need to. Back then, you had your catalog of comedy, you yeah. did it, you rode that wave as long as you could.
Right.
And then you either got out or tried to reinvent yourself a la the Beatles, which they could manage to do it yeah. once a year, but like a comedy act, you know. I mean, fuck, Milton Berle was doing the same comedy until he died, you know. He was famous for having a big catalog of jokes.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I mean, I can't think of any other one other than Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, nothing that was mainstream. I mean, there's a whole mm-hmm. subculture called Filk.
Really?
Which is, you know, comedy folk things, usually weird involving maybe. Nerdy stuff. Like Star Trek, Star Wars, okay. that kind of thing.
Are there other bands that pop into your head that are like that you know of? Because I don't know of them. I've probably heard them once or twice on Pandora or something, but...
The Spock, Leonard Nimoy, Journey of Bilbo Baggins or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, wow. But was that intentionally funny?
That's no, I don't question. Think so.
That's the problem.
No.
If you guys haven't heard the Bilbo Baggins song, you really need to check it out and then burn it. It's really, I mean, and I don't mean to a CD, I really don't. No, people don't do that anymore. What am I talking about? I'm dating myself already.
CDs, what are CDs?
Yeah, people don't know what those are. They, yeah. But, yeah, and then I guess on top of that, the most famous folk parody is A Mighty Wind, which, like, kind of capped it off. At least for me, I fucking love that movie.
Even though it's not, because we've listened to that, like, in depth, and we're like, these aren't. They're not funny. I mean,
right.
they're
right.
not comedic.
Right. They're playing it straight for the comedy. They're like doing, yeah. you know, they're
really good.
Yeah, no, they're amazing.
Not to say that, you know, the Smothers Brothers aren't good, but they can pass.
Sure. I mean, the Smothers Brothers was different, and then it was like, it was okay for them to wink at the audience because
yeah.
that was part of the joke. Nobody had done this before.
Right.
And whereas Mighty Wind, that's kind of the way comedy seems to go as far as, especially with like parody. If you go to, like, I'm not going to say Mel Brooks is the originator of parody by any means, but he popularized it as a form, and even he at some point peaked in the 80s, early 80s, he started to peak, and then people tried to pick it up and turn it into something else, which became Scary Movie and all that garbage. People didn't know how to do it. Like, it was him, then the Zuckers. The Zuckers were brilliant, and then people started to do Scary Movie and movie, and all that shit. Yeah. And
they haven't made a movie.
They really need to. I mean, I'm awesome. Waiting for that. Fingers crossed.
We need to do that.
They should do Scary Movie, where they do a movie making fun of Scary Movie.
Insane.
Oh, God. But, yeah, and that garbage. And then... slowly but surely, we're starting to see stuff that guys that don't like Edgar Wright don't necessarily like the word spoof, whatever. There's still an element of parody in their homage. It's satire, fine, whatever you want to call it. But it's the same thing, just elevated.
Done
to
correctly.
They're playing it yeah. serious, playing it straight the way you need to. Did you guys see Black Dynamite?
No, not yet.
Awesome. It is so good. Like, I loved I'm Gonna Get You Sucka when I was a little kid. This one plays it exactly like it was a 70s blaxploitation film. And just, it is so, like, so many fuck-ups in camera and stuff.
Yeah.
Even the director said he was playing a character as he was directing it.
Oh, nice.
So,
it's a good way to do it. Yeah. It's a good way to approach it.
And that, they played it straight, 100%. Michael Jai White is a brilliant guy, because this was his idea, and he played it. But again, that's like, there is an evolution of that, and these guys are the beginning, and you know, people probably forget that, but, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. But either way, funny, haha. I like the Smothers Brothers.
What year was this recorded?
Oh, fuck. I want to say 61, but I could be completely wrong. I'm not finding it on the album. Let me see if I can see it in here. Like, finding it in a book that's 300 pages is going to be easier somehow.
Like it's encyclopedia or anything.
Right.
Damn it.
Let me see.
There's no copyright notice on the album.
Oh, and I hate that.
Well, when do they require it?
I don't. Yeah, that's what you... It was recorded sometime before 1960.
Well, a lot of it is because the songs are mechanical licensed. They got licensed to do the songs because those were all under copyright.
Oh, okay.
And someone was pretty new, like, They Call the Wind Mariah was from Paint Your Wagon.
Right.
That was only 10 years. If this is in the 60s, that's 51. So.
But,
Yeah, 61.
61?
Yeah, May 1961. I did find it in a book that is several hundred pages long.
Good job. Boom.
I love that their comedy is still relevant.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're really freaking liberal, like, completely. We went to see them. We've seen them twice in concert, and the first time was in Schenectady, and they were, like, letting Bush have it a little bit.
Yeah, they were.
It was pretty awesome.
They're in their 70s, and they still, yeah.
It was still so relevant and perfect. They were on
one of my all-time favorite quotes from them of all their stuff, and I love their music and everything, but my favorite quote is from the I Talk to the Trees, one of those, and because Tommy was saying how stupid it is, and he's like, Paint Your Wagon, what a stupid title, anyone who likes that is stupid. He's like, Dickie goes, have you seen it? He's like, have you seen it? He's like, I'm an American. I don't have to see something to know it's stupid. Like, still today, you can see that everywhere on the fucking internet.
It's really, yeah, they live by that. That needs to be a meme.
I love that.
Yeah. You need to put that just as an image that people can spread around thoughtlessly. That is how memes work.
I made a GIF that was had a chicken on it. It said the best taking chicken on the block.
That's one of their chickens.
That's right.
Dickie got a dog, but Tommy got a chicken.
Holding a three-wheeled wagon.
We're going to have to at some point go through like some of the other albums so we can honestly just sit and listen to all their albums in one sitting and then just like get drunk and talk about them all.
Oh,
yeah. Totally.
Or give Ari a pot brownie.
I'm having a really fun time watching that right now. That was fun.
But
this album, they're very not political in. Mm-mm. And it's because it's their first thing, and they're being very cautious.
They are still challenging status quo in that this is safe white boy music, and they're having fun with it.
Yeah.
It's funny because I talked, like, my mom grew up with them. She and her dad didn't have a lot in common, but they watched a lot of comedy shows together. And so that was how they bonded. Then I talked to my stepdad, who's now, he's turning 64, and I asked him if he ever listened to it. He's like, it seemed dumb.
That's so weird to me.
And then, I know, so he never watched it, and then I asked my grandpa, and he said that, like, I'm pretty sure he didn't listen to them because they were too liberal.
Okay, right.
Hmm. And I just think that's funny how, I don't know, it makes sense, but
yeah,
I really thought Jim would be a fan of them.
That really blows me away a little bit. Well, I mean, he is a composer, and sometimes, I don't know.
But he's also
but he's got a good sense of humor.
Musician.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like, what am I thinking?
Some of their songs Jim used to play all the time, like the
that's
Foxes.
So funny. Yeah.
I know that song because he used to play it all
the
time.
Right, and that's actually kind of a good perspective to come at it with, because somebody like me, I'm being exposed to these songs new. I don't know what exists previously, which at this point I know that most of them were all original songs.
Yeah.
Were all songs that had been played before, actual folk songs. But you having heard them, I guess it is kind of weird. Or it's a little extra layer to hear those things parodied.
It's also funny because, you know, I watched, I don't remember who I watched it with, but I watched A Mighty Wind, and I didn't like it. The first time I saw it, I was like, this is too close to home. I know these people.
Yeah.
And then Dan...
Is Jim Eugene Levy?
He's like, if David Higgins... that's his name, right?
David Higgins Clark?
Michael. No, Michael? Who?
Michael Clark Duncan?
No, who's the guy that was in the Main Street Singers? David... There are too many people with the same name.
This Michael is embarrassing. Higgins, we can edit this.
Bob.
Michael Higgins Bob.
Okay,
yes.
Well, we'll go with that.
It's like he and Eugene Levy had a baby. That's who Jim is. then Dan gave me the soundtrack, and I listened to it. I forced myself to listen to it on loop.
Yeah.
And through the music and learning about these people through the music they were singing, or they were, you know, their music... I loved it the second time I saw it.
Yeah.
Because then I knew them, and it felt so much more intimate as opposed to coming at it as this is them making fun of the genre. Because they're not.
No, because they were all folk musicians back in the 60s, too. Yeah.
So it's interesting how the music is important, even if it's original, you know, for that.
We are going to, once I buy that on vinyl, we're going to do that at some point, too. Because you can buy it on vinyl on Amazon, so we'll do that, and we'll be able to talk about
that
and Spinal Tap and shit.
Things are actually starting to come more and more on vinyl again.
Which is good.
Yeah.
It's one of the few parts of the record industry that's going positive from year to year.
That's
vinyl. Yeah. Huh. I mean, it's not it's going to keep the record industry afloat.
No.
Collapsing.
You can thank hip-hop for that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, just go ahead.
Okay, you guys mentioned Tim Minchin earlier, who is one that I don't think I'd heard of till Mike actually... Mike told you guys, and you guys played it for me. I don't remember.
No, I found it on the different set.
Oh, you guys found it separate. Okay. So, yeah, no, and he's funny as shit.
We're going to see him on Tuesday.
Oh, nice. Where?
Where we went to see Eddie Izzard.
Oh, awesome.
Was it Largo?
Yeah.
Largo? Oh, I love Largo. That's a great place to
It's very small and
intimate. Oh, is that Largo?
It's great. Uh-huh.
That's Largo? Okay, they keep talking about it on the Nerdist, and I wasn't.
Yeah,
I didn't realize I'd been there.
It seats like 100 people.
That's funny.
It's
teeny.
Good.
That's cool. But I mean,
hopefully he'll come out and sign as opposed to Eddie Izzard, who didn't.
Well,
I don't know, maybe.
He had people to schmooze with. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
It was a writer's strike. He was sad. Everybody was sad.
That's true.
But I mean, obviously the Lonely Island's one that's big because they just fucking, they were top of Amazon for, I don't know if they still are or not, but they premiered at number one, in the top 10 at least, their new album. And they're different, obviously, because it's all original. It's parody. It's style parody.
Yeah.
But still pretty
damn
funny.
Flight of the Conchords more than them, but...
I like the skill of the Flight of the Conchords different more. You know, like, it's not... It's not to say it's necessarily easy to make a good-sounding rap song, but it is easy to parody hip-hop
in a little bit. You have to appreciate
it
in order to, like... Because that's the thing I think that Scary Movie fails on, those sorts of parodies, is they don't understand you have to appreciate it to make fun of it properly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why forever, and I still want to make a musical of Citizen Kane, because I do love that film. But no one could make a musical of that movie if they hadn't seen it 1,000 times and absolutely loved it.
Yep.
And then realize, then the more you get to know something, it's the same with people, the more you get to know something, the more... of their flaws you realize they have to be made fun of constantly.
Yes.
Well, I think that's... we're getting a little off topic, but I think that's one thing... someone in my writers group has a book they're writing about hipsters, and I was just thinking about why people are so down on hipsters, because I don't know many of them, but I know the cliches.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is that there's an aura of you can't make fun of what I like.
Right.
Whereas we are always down. I can name everything about Star Wars that's stupid. I love Star Wars.
Sure.
It's my favorite series, but yeah, it can be stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, you can name stuff that is like, you have to know what the flaws are in order to exploit them and make fun of them.
Yep.
I think that's what the Smothers Brothers are actually doing,
really
too. Because before they, like Jay was saying, no one else did that before, and it's like...
It was reverent.
Folk music definitely, like, had a place with people that you just didn't mess with it.
Yep.
It would be like making fun of, like, Ave Maria or...
No, it's true. Because in small town churches, they would sing folk music. I went to a church for a little while where on Saturday morning or Saturday evenings, we would go to church and sing folk music. Mm-hmm. We sang like the Foxes and Grandma's Feather
Bed.
Awesome.
And I want to go to that church.
Yeah. This is the church I have the fondest memories of. And they even though they're funny songs, they're because they're also part of an oral tradition and because they are passed down from generation to generation, there is a bit of reverence, and Smothers Brothers destroy that.
Yeah.
They still love they obviously love this genre, but
you can't sing with that kind of emotion if you don't give a shit to some degree, or understand the song at least.
Right.
You know?
But that's when I think you can feel that when you watch a good spoof or you listen to a good parody, you can feel it if they care about it or if they don't.
Sure. Now, a lot of people, none of them. I can't think of another group that we've mentioned so far have done what the Smothers Brothers did. Not that they necessarily should, but I mean, they at some point just went off the charts with what they tried to do with their comedy, in that they got a TV show, and Tommy realized, oh, I can do something now. Like, if you read, you can read in the book where there's a breaking point where he didn't give a shit about world issues. Some shit happens, and something happens to him. It's kind of a selfish, but it happens to all of us. Like, I think something happens to you, and for a selfish reason, you start to give a shit.
Oh, yeah.
And he starts to care about world issues. And then, like, all of a sudden, it's a new Tommy is born, and these other energies that were going elsewhere all of a sudden go into letting people know about, you know, inequality, everything that the 60s was about, letting people know.
And that's when he started using the yo-yo.
Exactly. That is exactly, you know, the yo-yo man, I mean, since the very beginning has been, broke new ground, I think, for political awareness.
And,
you know,
anti-segregation.
That's why it's called Around the World.
That is exactly why. That is a very good point. I mean, do you think Kennedy would have gotten elected if he hadn't had a yo-yo segment when he debated with Nixon?
So what about Sonny and Cher? I guess they were always about changing
Marilyn
the world.
Yo-yo.
Sonny and Cher, they were always about just being goofy. I mean, I can't remember watching that show. I mean, I've seen repeats of that show as well. I just remember them just being silly and dressing up a lot.
Sketches versus their music. Their music, it seemed like they took seriously, whereas the sketches.
Yeah, it's true. They kind of separated.
Yeah.
Whereas,
and honestly,
it's like, all one for the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, like, after the Smothers Brothers got canceled, all of a sudden, that was the new template. You had to be trying to stick it to the man, quote unquote. But now that the man knew it was happening, they knew how to control the stick it. And, like, they got fucked in the process. But, I mean, at the very least, people are recognizing them still for doing what they did. But I can't think of another musical comedy act, anyway, or too many comedy acts that have tried to do anything with what they say. I mean, George Carlin, following on in the footsteps of Lenny Bruce, both like were very outspoken and gotten a lot of legal trouble for what they did. At the very least, for freedom of speech. Then these guys were not just for freedom of speech, but they were also just for specifically, you know, just letting everybody know about peace. You know,
yeah, that's one thing I like about Book of Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the best songs.
The actual Book of Mormon, or
the stage show on Broadway.
Because one of the best songs. Well, my two favorite songs are Hasadiga Ibawai, which is, translates in this language to fuck you, God.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is I Believe, where he's listing off all the crazy shit Mormons believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but a lot of it has to do with what is actually going on in Uganda. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to this going, man, Trey care about what's going on in Uganda?
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, they're not just doing it, I mean, their comedy, they're not just doing it to, like, press buttons.
No,
they're doing
no.
it to raise
consciousness.
Do you worry, though, that when comedians such as the Smothers Brothers, such as Carlin, even Trey and Matt, do you worry that the people aren't getting it and they're walking out going, ha, they said fuck?
I think some of them,
I know that happens.
The people who are,
I worry so much.
I figure, like most comedy acts figure, if one person gets it, you have to deal with the fact that hopefully one person gets it.
Right.
And that helps.
Yeah.
And that's got to be enough for you. Otherwise,
it's going to just bring you down.
You can't control the way a person thinks, but you can give them a new perspective. That's all you can do is give them a new perspective, and comedy helps with it.
And what's also important to keep in mind is, okay, they didn't get it this time, but if it's a good or funny song without understanding the actual political or whatever meaning under it, they may listen to it again. And again, and again, and all of a sudden, maybe it'll seep in, and now they get it.
I think some of the more like subtle comedy I've ever heard, or like subtle satire that I've heard, has taken a while to sink in, especially if I started listening to it when I was a younger teenager, and then a few years later, it's like, oh, like Randy Newman was a guy that I didn't, never associated with satire, so I wasn't listening to it with that ear at all. So some stuff I almost borderline took seriously, and then later heard on, I'm like, oh, I'm a retard.
Yeah.
He's just really good.
Yeah.
You know? True. And, but, yeah. But per your question, Mike, no, I don't worry, because I know that there are people out there who just straight up don't get it. I think most people have the capacity to get it, but it's just not going to happen for the most part.
I think the fact that they're being thought-provoking is a good sign.
Sure.
Because it's better for someone to have something like this where you go and leave, you know, some, I don't even know if it would be religious people, but people who are, you know, don't understand what's really going on, either in the Mormon church or in Uganda or whatever. They, I don't remember where it's going. No, it's like
Christmas.
Stop, like, even like you can write a story or a song or whatever on an issue that you don't. It's like you can have a moral in your story that's not even your perspective.
Sure.
But if you're making people think, then that's still. It's better to have people thinking, even if they go back into whatever they were thinking before, because at least you know that they can think.
Yep.
It's way better them than the people going to see, like, Mr. Popper's Penguins or
Kiefer. Dude, that is some serious shit. That's about segregation.
People keep it's laughing about at the trailers, and it worries me.
I know. I was at the X-Men last
Penguins night. Are Ugandans, and Mr. Popper is AIDS.
I agree with that thoroughly.
Maybe I'm overthinking.
Can we please go see it just to write that review?
Yeah, Mr. Popper.
I think this
is
heavy handed.
Because how do you get AIDS? By popping someone.
Wow.
And I think, like,
in the banquet,
it goes for the Smothers Brothers and Matt and Trey. When they cause controversy, it raises awareness.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
People are like, oh, there's stuff going on, and people love drama.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, well, just humans love drama.
Sure.
And it does make you think a little bit.
Well, I mean, you can push, plenty of comedians are a-holes that do push buttons just for the sake of it, and they do, and that gets people riled up, and then nothing results from it.
Right.
If you can do both, if you can actually have something in mind while you're pushing buttons, fine. Pisses some people off, some people just don't get it, then other people are like, they're trying to make me think.
Yep.
Like, you know, even me, like, I love that Matt and Trey, I love that Matt and Trey's, their MO, as far as especially South Park, is we're not going to entirely tell you the way we feel on
exactly.
a particular subject.
Yeah.
We're gonna argue for both sides, and that includes religion, that includes politics, that includes absolutely everything, because they're like...
the Food Network?
Right. We're just trying to make the point that nobody's right, you know, and that... All you have to do is fucking listen to each other, and everything they write does have a moral at the end that, quite frankly, you know, we need to fucking listen to each other or we're going to fail miserably. And then we also have, you know, I think the Book of Mormon is a big part of that, too. Like, you know, if I love, like you said, that they know what's going on over there, and I'm listening to that, and I'm just like, holy shit, this is just so harsh to listen to, because a lot of it's about baby rape.
And it's
like,
true.
Oh, but I'm like, I'm so glad it's hard to harsh to listen to. You know, I'm just so glad that they're making me listen to it.
So, what I'm hoping people will get from that is a list of...
White guilt, everybody!
Yeah, just that they'll listen to that, and listen to the whole thing about, like, the baby rape, and 80% of people having AIDS, and being like, oh my god, that's so ridiculous, and then they do a research, they're like, there's no way that, oh my god, that's actually true.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? It's just, if one person does that, it makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, I am more prone to listen, because Matt and Trey and Smothers Brothers, they're not angry.
Mm.
It's like, they are doing their thing. I don't ever feel anger. Well, once, okay, if it's directed at the, you know, Isaac Hayes, but... Whereas, like, I will listen to them a lot quicker than I listen to, like, Lewis Black or...
Sure.
Like, I don't want to be yelled at.
Right,
and
right.
George Carlin, the last, we went to see him at my school, and Pixie and I walked out. We're just like, this is... Because it was... They were saying... I mean, it's like, I don't care if other people think it's funny. that's their... I'm not going to yell at someone because they think it's funny. I don't say, you don't like dead baby... Or you like dead baby jokes?
Right.
You don't like them?
Well, how like dare them. You not like dead baby jokes?
But it's like, I personally don't want to hear about him telling people if they want to commit suicide to just go ahead and do it.
Right.
I know he's trying to raise consciousness, all this. Yeah. It's just not my thing because right, I've exactly. known too many people who...
Have actually
tried.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
But... I've, especially being around you guys, because you guys are the worst influences.
Yeah.
I've lightened up a lot about about stuff I find funny.
Sure.
And I am more of, when it comes to comedy, I'm much more of a live and let live person.
Mm-hmm.
Except Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Yeah.
But is that really comedy?
I have a sneaking suspicion that that movie wasn't aimed at your demographic. I'm just throwing that out there.
But wait, what did they showed it before?
But I love the
Super
book.
8.
The book is amazing, and it pisses me off that they ruined it.
And the parents have to get together at the end. Spoiler alert.
Oh, I'll never
Shoot
go
me.
See it now.
Shoot me. Although my parents are back together. Of course, they were sleeping together.
Did penguins?
Hopefully, mom doesn't.
Yes. We are not cutting any of this.
We just got to the secret portion.
Yes. Yay. All right. So.
This is Jason Klom's Confessions.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know, honestly, just to, again, we are going to stay off topic for a second here, but yeah, George Carlin and I had the same thing. Like, I get what he's...
sex with him?
Yes. Clearly. We're back together. But clearly, like, he had a character at the end. He was trying to make a point, but I didn't want to listen to that character talk. Yep. It was a miserable character. Yes, you're making your point, but I don't need to listen to that. It's like a Saturday Night Live sketch going on too long. Okay, cool. Yep. You made your point. You did your joke. Keep going.
Move on.
Like, if you listen to George Carlin, and maybe I just wanted to hear this, but if you listen to George Carlin's last album, Angry Guy's still there, but there's a lot softer old guy in there. There's some really good bits in it. The angry stuff I just ignored because he had just recently died. Smart move, by the way, releasing that right after he died. like, his early stuff is just so good because
so
he's such a fucking hippie, and I love that stuff. And yeah, okay, so it speaks to me more. And the other stuff is, like, he's going out of his way to approach the people who kind of disagree with him and make them interested and kind of suck them in, I think.
Yeah.
Like, angry guys sucking in, like, angry conservatives and angry liberals, whatever. Angry people in general.
Right.
And he does make some really soft points, and, like, there's clearly a liberal in the middle. But, again, it would be like if I watched a movie... It's like watching the fucking... I guess the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo movie is, like, somebody described it as one long rape scene.
Yeah.
That movie can make a point, but I don't need to watch... that long of a movie about rape.
Yeah.
Some
people will, like...
Sure.
You know.
That's fine.
It depends on what your threshold is.
Yeah.
And especially, like, I think part of what annoys me with George Carlin is he's preaching to the choir sometimes.
Sure.
And I'm
sure.
like, I don't need to listen to you, okay? I'm already converted.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, Hard Candy is pretty hard in your face. And you know,
yeah, it is.
Dan's favorite scene is the castration scene. But, you know, I wouldn't expect somebody to have to watch it.
Wait, she castrates him? I thought she gave him extra testicles. She put in, like, 12 of them.
You weren't man enough. Here you go.
I totally miss the meaning of that movie.
It's really funny, though. This is still off topic, but, like, my threshold for nasty comedy... Like, swear words, but, like, I cannot watch Ren and Stimpy. I cannot. Ever since I was a kid, it just grossed. I can't even watch freaking SpongeBob. That grosses me out. But I watched all of the Human Centipad episode. Didn't bother me at all.
That's
we'll
funny.
Never see the actual movie.
Sure.
But, you know, Kyle getting his mouth full of shit didn't bother me.
That's pretty funny. That
Most of South Park doesn't bother me, except the douche sandwich. That
the douche sandwich,
me out.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's... Yeah, I don't... Yeah, for the most part, I don't like gross comedy either.
Yeah.
I can't stand poop comedy unless... I did like Bridesmaids, and I
that was the best
that
poop
movie,
comedy I ever
because
saw.
Because you didn't see it. You didn't
no.
need to.
Yeah,
the vomit you saw, but big deal.
The vomit didn't bother me.
Nah.
Her just sitting down in the middle of the road and going, oh, it's happening.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not that that movie needs any advertisement, but yeah, that... Yeah, because this is going to serve as advertisement.
Yep.
Three more people.
Mr. Internet, go see it.
We'll consider it. Yes, Mr. Internet.
Come
please,
on.
Watch this film. But let's pull it back to Smothers Brothers for a second, I guess. Wait, how long? What are we on here? We're at 47 minutes. Yeah, we're pretty close here.
Well, I think The Smothers Brothers opened the door to allow pretty much everything we just talked about to exist on television.
That's true.
And they are dirty.
Yeah.
They are so dirty.
Sure.
Like,
have you
Listen, go ahead.
So I was going to say, haven't you seen a whitewashing within the last 6-7 years? Like, the only reason Trey and Matt are allowed to do Book of Mormon is because of the success they had starting in the 90s and going through. But, like, there's not the envelope pushing new things coming on TV. And I don't, I'm not saying that the comedians aren't out there wanting to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that I raised my glass and, you know, cheers to the producers of the Book of Mormon and for allowing it. But do you guys see... what do you see?
Well,
Who do you like out there that's, like, pushing envelopes?
Like, but shows or comedians?
Anything like that.
Have you seen Archer? Oh, you should watch Archer. It's like...
I shook my head.
It's definitely... It's, like, more intense Arrested Development, but cartoon with H. John Benjamin. And it reminded me of a different... It's like C-Lab and South Park had a baby.
And yeah, it's like
that. I've never seen Sunny in Philadelphia. I know you guys.
I hate that.
Don't like it.
I won't say I hate it. That's not fair. I just it's not my cup of shit.
I mean, there's the Louis C.K. show that's on FX.
I
didn't watch that because we were trying to watch it on Fox or whatever, on the website, and they had it so that his face it was cropped wrong, where it was right here and then right here.
On Netflix.
That's what we saw. We're like.
It, like, cut out, like, 3/4 of the...
I don't see anything. And it's HD, so what the hell? And it was, like, full frame, or, whatever.
Yeah, but it's hard. Yeah, I think, as far as, like, politically, anyway, like, socially conscious stuff, there's not a lot. I mean, Daily Show is a constant. It's been doing that, but it's not like it's pushed its own bar any higher. It's at where it's at, and it needs to be, and that's fine. Maybe
that's
I'm underexposed.
Pendulum swing.
But...
And especially, like, right now, I mean, they denied it, but I'm... getting a strong feeling that South Park is going to be ending soon.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to have to be a resurgence of something new.
That's true.
I think what's happening is, I don't think it's so much that they're whitewashing or afraid. I think as far as it goes, they're just dumbing it down.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to put shows on that'll just make money off of...
Because too many shows that are pushing the envelope, like Arrested Development was, it gets canceled, like, right away. Because there's... Those shows are usually ahead of their time. And South Park managed to hit a niche that, you know, like, especially since it was on Comedy Central, it kept going. Whereas some other shows, they just go away.
Because what it is that networks are just... If it doesn't make money, they're just afraid to put their money behind it. That's it, I think. I don't think they're afraid.
They're trying to keep their job.
Yeah, sure. I don't think it's so much that they're afraid of what it says more than they're just afraid their wallets isn't as full. They aren't willing to basically subsidize
it. It's not a safe bet.
The Smothers Brothers book is all about that. I mean, they interview guys who are involved in getting them canned and guys who are involved. Oh, yeah. Like, all these guys are like, some of them are like, I wish it hadn't happened that way, and I think they do mean it. Some of them are like, well, they, you know, they broke the rules. They did break the contract, blah, blah, blah. You know, and some of the things they say are legit. But, I mean, it is. It is always about bottom line. But, like, back to the dumbing down bit, I think a lot of comedians, too, are also just not trying. They're dumbing it down because they expect to be dumbed down, and they're going, and everybody's trying so hard to figure out the internet still.
It
blows me away.
They're so old.
That, like, they're just trying to, like, okay, I need to be viral. I need to make a viral video, and that's how most comedians talk. I don't know if you're aware of that.
That's true.
But,
that's
try so hard, and everybody knows that the ones with the biggest views are either ones that are well advertised, like The Lonely Island, who premiere on Saturday night live first to a huge audience, and then it's a lot easier for that to spread word of mouth. And then either really cute shit with kittens, or guys getting hit in the nuts, or girls shitting into one another's mouths. Which I don't know if there's ever a view tracker on that.
When you talk about the kittens one, are you talking about Rachel Bloom's I Steal Pets?
That was pretty good, too. That was pretty
funny. I like that.
And again, that's something that, again, not pushing the envelope, but as far as viral shit goes, stuff that goes viral, she's funny as shit. Like, good comedians, like, just making good sketch comedy, and good sketch comedy doesn't really have to push the envelope if it doesn't want to. You know, that stuff's got a good place there, but I you know, online, you're expecting to see the next big thing hit there, but nothing, envelope pushing, just for lack of a better phrase, really shows up there that I ever see.
So much PC-ness, and I'm liberal, but
sure.
I think PC stuff is, like, people are too PC, and it's like, Okay, we have friends that are a couple, these two girls, and we love them to death, woo-hoo, but they always are doing adorable things for each other, and Dan and I aren't romantic at all, so when, you know, my friend gets her girlfriend a bouquet of flowers, we're like, you're so gay. And it's like, they laugh, and people, if you're not doing it to be mean, if you're doing it just... I mean, I kind of want to take it back. I was like, yeah, fuck you. Gay doesn't have to be mean. It can be just... I've been using it as uber super romantic and gross.
I say I'm gay for Jen all the time.
Exactly. And it's like, I think people are too afraid of lawsuits and they're accommodationists. They don't want to push the envelope.
I also say I'm oriental for her. Is that bad? I don't even know if that makes sense anymore.
I'm Asian for you, Aaron. It's funny because she had the squinty eyes.
Aww. At least Asian is more PC.
And now we have apologies. Apology section.
Long list.
Do you guys have any musician comedians out there that you like right now? That
to
you...
mention. Have I mentioned to mention?
Weird Al's got a new album dropping.
I cannot wait, and I am in the fucking video for Perform This Way, by the way.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
It's awesome. Retard.
Yeah. Dan and I saw the advertisement, and I'm like, oh, Dan, you gotta do this. Oh, Jay, you gotta do this. And then Dan's really fucking lazy, and Jay got in there right away. We're like,
I didn't look the next day.
I'm a paparazzi.
He did it that day. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah, they had 18 paparazzi, including two of the band members. But, yeah, and Al, the whole time he was directing, it was like, I call him Al, because I can. Weird Al was like, specifically, he didn't want to waste any extras, so, like, I'm on the edge of the frame, but he's like, here, I need you to move in a little bit so that, like, you know, we
Weird
can
Al
see you.
Weird Al talk to you?
Yes, Weird Al talk to me, yeah, right?
we're laying hands on Jason.
I, in no way, have pictures from the set, because when they asked for SD cards from our cameras, once they just realized the producers didn't want them, I did not in any way throw the SD card very quickly down my shirt. So I in no way have pictures from the set that I'm not legally allowed to have.
Okay, good.
Which I will not show you later. But yeah, so that's fun. So keep an eye out for that. But I mean, Weird Al's always good. I think Weird Al's always growing, and we've talked about it before, underappreciated, and I think he still does pretty good satire
in some ways.
The fact
that people are...
But...
He's still alive?
I know, I hate that.
And that's why I want to make a thing that is, you know, interviewing people about how Weird Al died.
Right.
have you guys heard of Garfunkel and Oates?
Oh
yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
I think they have a thing going of the nice... Like the Smothers Brothers did in a way of having the nice, you know, the girl.
It sounds
girl.
Very
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, really even sweet. Even folky,
job,
you got the.
I don't understand job.
Yeah. Ukulele. It's yes. Kate Micucci.
Yeah, like the hand job song of theirs is very much like, almost like a kid's song in its approach.
Yeah.
And but it's she's definitely, cute. You know, I wouldn't play that for a kindergartner.
I would. Oh, I mean, this fits because it's comedy music. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think about the kid getting
the kid
prison time because of the YouTube video?
He's a registered sex offender.
Wait, what happened now?
Really? They made him register?
Yeah.
They were going to, but they pulled it off the table.
I thought he was. I don't know. I could be incorrect. This guy in Florida, was it Florida? He went to a elementary school, and he played Lunch Lady Land for a bunch of elementary school kids.
Okay.
He went home and edited the video to be a different song, but had the kids in the video, and it was an obscene song. So they say that it was a pornographic video with children involved, so therefore...
No.
Wow.
And nobody stood up for him.
Florida.
Nobody, yeah.
Florida, that's why. God, that is...
They were going to give him prison time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And make him register. I heard last that he got community service and they didn't make him register.
So, okay. So, just so I know, anytime Stephen Lynch plays a song, it's pornography then? Because everything he talks about, all kinds of shit. So that pornography?
Well, if
only if there's a child there.
Even if the children
even if a child
is
there when he actually sang
it.
That's not... No.
No, it's wrong.
That's bullshit.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's why people are afraid to push the envelope.
Yeah.
And the video since been taken out from YouTube, too. You can't even find it. You can't even find it.
And
video.
It's like, someone should have stood up for that.
Yeah.
And they'll allow, you know, should have pushed for that to be allowed.
Comedy.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Comedians are a lot like atheists in that they do not band together. They're like herding cats. Mm-hmm. There are times when they should all go come together like stupid, like the music industry does or Scientologists do.
Right.
But they don't. And it's like something like that, that sets a precedent for everybody else.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's a bad precedent because there, he in no way was hurting anybody. And I'm sure there was a, you know, they had to put in their age for the video. It's not like they were just letting anyone see it.
Yeah, right. Wow. Wow. So, that's a good note. but I was thinking about this earlier, and I like, the Smothers Brothers we were talking about, they're still relevant.
Yep. They're still
why
dirty.
They don't do a new album other than people wouldn't know how to pitch them. They just should do a new album. Let's just record one of their live shows and fucking release it. I would buy it. I would instantly line up.
Hell yeah.
And I'll then, record it. Let's go.
All right, let's do this.
They should do something with Weird Al or something.
Smothers Brothers, if you're listening, we're going to record a live show.
Mr. Internet, get this to the brothers.
Yes, yeah. Thank you, please.
The bros.
Uh-huh.
It can stay Smothers Bras.
Why can't it just be the Smoz Bros?
Smoz Bros. With a Z.
Yes.
So I'll talk about one final thing here, since I think we've mostly talked about them. The book, I'll say it again, Dangerously Funny. It's by David Bianculli, who is also, he's in this, I hope I pronounced that right. If cool? I slaughtered it, hey, maybe.
Bianculli?
Bianculli, yes. I don't
Did
know.
You want to show him some pictures? Bianculli.
Yeah, here, there's this picture. This is a good one. This is on just after page 176.
I have to tip it a little
this,
bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. There. Is that their light? There you go. That one. And that's a good one, right? Right? And then, wait, this one, you're really going to like, hold on, don't. Right? That's a good one.
We all can appreciate that. That sounds amazing.
But the end of this book kind of made me cry because...
The appendix?
Yeah, the appendix is just so, it's just emotional. Like, it just comes from a deep place, you can tell.
Deep page, page 372.
The appendix is the appendix of the
book. It is. But... They basically, they ask Tommy, like, you know, would you do, you know, another show? Would you, and like, he still has the passion to do it. He would love to do another show. And you don't assume that these guys, you assume they just want to keep touring till they die or tour till they're ready to retire and they don't have the energy, but he still would go on TV and do this. And to know that there's nobody in the world with the brains or capability to turn that into a reality out there other than people like us really made me sad because... Mm-hmm. I would kill to see that happen. I don't care that they're in their 70s. You know, it could be done. It could be done well, even if it's just a one-off special.
Right.
It would be amazing to see. So just FYI out
Come
there.
Come on, Tommy PBS.
Smothers, this needs to happen.
Looking at you.
So we want this to happen, Tommy. Every one of your fans would want this to happen.
Yep.
I would pay so much money to see that, to be there live, and or produce it. So give me a call. email me. Twitter me. We'll save that one for later. Yeah, I don't know. Final thoughts on the album, even though we didn't listen to it all the way through, kids. You guys listened to it twice earlier today, so you guys can
I think, well, just one final thing, the Tom Dooley one, that one actually has comedy on Dickie actually saying funny things.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like,
that's right. Yeah.
Because he's like, there's a one...
Stole my...
Yeah, when Tommy is saying, you know, they stole his music.
They stole and then, the song that my brother wrote.
And then he's like, along with my luggage. Along with his luggage.
It's like, it's ridiculous. He says it so sad. Along with my luggage.
Oh, it's so good.
But yeah, just in general, like...
They're definitely worth checking out all of their songs.
Absolutely. Like, they're just hard to get. And that's why we do this podcast, because, like, I'm noticing, I think I saw on Amazon, some of these are being released finally.
Yay.
But on CD, but they're really hard to get.
But the easy one to find on CD, if you need it, is The Best of Sibling Rivalry.
So that's just...
And that's got some of the best stuff, so...
And then I think probably there's a bunch of clips on YouTube from their show, I hope.
Yes, there's one... One of my favorites that they did was that I got a...
Downloaded's a dirty word to Aaron.
Well, LimeWire downloaded.
Oh, jeez.
Back
Lime
in the
Wire.
Day, it's okay. It's a while. Right. Statute of limitations have passed.
No Nutella?
Nutella?
I guess it is.
It was a live one from some comedians, like, they were honoring somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's called...
The Harry Chapin thing?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. It was
the folk
six
singer
string
yes,
orchestra.
Yes, that's
that
good.
You should. It's on YouTube, and that one makes me like gives me goosebumps when I watch it. I really wanted them to do it when we saw them live, but they didn't.
Yeah, I saw them live once at one of the comedy Chuckle Hut things in L.A. And, yeah, they're fucking amazing. I got to be 10 feet away from them while they were playing. I brought this album with me, hoping they'd sign it, but they ran away.
Well, they're old. They had to go get their Metal Mucil and go to bed.
I think it was Biff was at when we went and saw it at the Hollywood
Really?
Bowl.
Uh-huh. Really?
He was like, back.
There?
Oh, yeah, I was there for that one. Yeah, I was like, wait, that sounds really familiar. Yeah, I was there for that one.
Yeah.
I wish the whole show had been them, but it was yeah.
No, Julie's singing was good.
Yeah. She's just not as musical as there.
No.
Yeah. Mike, thoughts, even though you've never heard the album?
No thoughts at all.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
We looked this up, and maybe I'm pretty sure I heard it in, like, a movie, like, for the 40s or the 50s or something.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard the phrase, fun job?
No. I have not.
Mr. Internet hasn't heard of it.
Mr. Internet hasn't heard of it, but I swear in the back of my mind that fun jobs were a way to describe boobs.
Fun jobs. And fun bags. Fun
see, bags. I know fun, I've yeah. heard that, but I've heard it before. And in one of their songs, Tommy talks about how they're crossing the bosom of America, and he says, I just want to throw a little sex in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone laughs, and Dickie's like, stick to the script or whatever. And Tommy goes, this wasn't just a fun job. And then everyone laughs again.
Oh.
And I'm
what
like,
song is that again?
That's Cabbage.
All right, I'm going to have to listen to that like right after
Do you
after
think
this.
They're referring to funjobs.com, the job search?
That's what I thought, but... Yes.
No, they only had Monster back then.
That's very true.
Oh, God. Man, it's one of those things where I'm like, did I just fucking make this up? Because I've done that before.
I'm pretty sure that's...
That's really weird to me.
I feel like
maybe he was trying to invent a word.
Never got on.
Everybody got it immediately.
He told the audience to laugh before.
They're the only...
If I say job, laugh really hard.
No, just everyone in the audience got what he was meaning because he winked or whatever.
Yep, it was
so only that audience has ever used that
phrase.
That's
another thing is that I'm sure... Oh, we forgot to talk about one part of this. That the lady who cannot stop laughing.
Yeah.
I hope her family found this and said... Mom, you are so fucking annoying. Like, at one point, Tommy tells her to shut up.
That is awesome. That is so good. Oh, my God.
That makes a lot more sense, because I know I've heard that woman on another song.
Yeah.
So if they recorded it...
In Austin or
unless
whatever.
She's a stalker and she's
right.
Or she's the one who recorded it.
That would be awesome.
She's really annoying.
She's a groupie following from
She's like Kristen Schaal from Flight of the Conchords.
That's why I told her to shut up, because she's irritating. Her husband has a driver.
All right, before we go, Dan and Ari also do a podcast.
A podcast
called Why Did I Buy This? And you guys want to describe it to them real quick?
We have a shit ton of DVDs, and we are slowly making our way through reviewing them.
We watch them and then review them.
You review two at a time, though, right?
Two at a time.
Yeah, our next one is going to be Butterflies Are Free and The A-Team.
Yes. Usually we have a theme.
That's good.
We're still working on the theme on this one.
I kind of like that. I kind of like to be there for that one.
You should.
I was there for Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, you guys should listen to that.
That was pretty good. I started listening to it the other day. It came out nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for when it... Yeah.
For you being on.
So it's www.wdibt.com, or just type, why did I buy this in iTunes?
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we'll be on iTunes shortly. There's been some issue with that. But...
Yay, issue!
Yeah. Yay, not yay. Yeah, yay for solving.
It's just boo.
Oh yeah, if you do listen to Jason's episode, keep listening. He's tired at first, but then he gets warmed up.
Yeah, that's how it goes. That's what I do. All the time. All right, everybody. Thank you. This has been episode 3 of Comedy on Vinyl, Smothers Brothers Live at the Purple Onion. Again, thank you to Dan Gomiller, Ari Jarvis, and Mike Warden. And have a fantastic thing.
Comedy day.
other day, sitting right across.
Comedy on Vinyl is recorded at Ford Awesome Studios in Burbank, California. Follow us on Twitter at Comedy on Vinyl, and follow us on Facebook, or like us at goo.gl/VSMFZ, as in zinc.
Keep it under your hand. Maybe someone else will be darn glad to choose her. Keep it under your hand.